You remember yesterday we saw in the Shulchan Aruch, the halachas that we learned, that if you're in the middle of davening, if you come to Moedim, you should bow down. If you come to Kedusha, you should just pause and listen to them. So if you remember, I mentioned to you that I seem to remember that you do not necessarily pause for the entire Kedusha.
Yeah.
Only for the middle two parts, which is Kodesh, Kodesh, and Baruch Kavod. So I looked around and I saw, and this is the reason why it's a little bit vague, have a look in the Mishnah Brura. I believe it's Simach, Samach Vav. I have to just find it now. One second, just give me 2 seconds. Just give me 2 seconds. Tess. Simon Kuf Tess is the halachas of Shulchan Aruch, whereas Simon Samach Vav are halachas of Kriya Shema. So the question is, would it be the same? Was it not the same? So look at the Shulchan Aruch and Siv Gimel there. Shulchan Aruch says, Lekadish ulekedusha ulebaruchu mafsik afilu beemtza haposuk. You would be mafsik, this is in the middle of Kriya Shema, for Kaddish or for Kedusha. Says the Mishnah Brura, have a look at the Mishnah Brura there and see if Cotton Yud Zayin. You have the Mishnah Brura? Mishnah Brura says, what does it mean you would stop in the middle of Kriya Shema for Kaddish? Hainu, La'omein Yehei Shmei Rabo Ad Omaya, V'lo Yema Yisborach. Okay. V'yane Omein Achar Damiron Ba'omol, Aval Al Tiskabel. Okay, here comes the part that's negetas. V'lekedusha, Shulchan Aruch said that you're mafsik in the middle of Kedusha, in the middle of Kriya Shema, to respond to Kedusha. So he says very important words over here. Yoimar rak kodosh u'baruch. That's the second and third out of four. Kodesh, 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 and Baruch Kavoid. You only respond for those. Why? Shezehu Iker Kedusha. But not for Yimloich, and definitely not for Nekadesh. And Rabbi Avraham, here's the Shaila that you mentioned yesterday. Veshar Dvorim Shemoisifin B'Shabbos. All the other additions that you add for Shabbos, like Mimkoimcha, you would not be mafsik in the middle of Kriya Shema. Now, back to our Shaila. We were not discussing the middle of Kriya Shema. We were discussing the middle of Shemoneh Esra. But obviously, if you cannot be mafsik in Kriya Shema, other than for the middle parts of Kedusha, then presumably the same would be in Shemoneh Esra. Remember, in Shemoneh Esra, you're actually not mafsik, but rather we said you just stop. The question is, what do you have to stop for? Which parts? So I saw in a sefer this morning, in a sefer called Ishei Yisrael, that he compares the two and he says, if in Kriya Shema you're mafsik for the middle do psukim, then in Shemoneh Esra when you have to go silent and you listen, again, it'll be for the middle two parts. So technically speaking, and that's why I couldn't find it yesterday, it's not actually written explicitly anyway. The Shulchan Aruch we saw yesterday simply says that you stop for Kedusha, but it didn't tell you which part of Kedusha you stop for. So I guess technically it would sound like you stop for the whole of Kedusha. But if you compare it to the halachas of Kriya Shema, then presumably you'd only have to stop for the middle two parts. I did see in this Sefer this morning that the author of the Sefer wrote that I spoke to Reb Chaim Kanievsky Shlita, and Reb Chaim says that yes, Me'ikra din, you only have to stop for the second and third parts of Kedusha. If you want to stop for the whole of Kedusha, you may do so, but there is no chiyuv. The chiyuv is only for parts 2 and part 3 of Kedusha. So that would seem to be halacha lemaisa. Now, there's just one or two other things that I wanted to see together with you. Also, halacha lemaisa. Firstly, have a look in the Shulchan Aruch. I believe it's Siman Kuf Dalet. Siman Kuf Dalet, 104. Sif Zion. Kuf Dalet, Sif Zion. After all said and done, one thing emerged very clearly from our sugya, and that is that when you're in the middle of Shemayna Esra, even though you may have to bow down with them, even though you may have to stop and listen for Kedusha, the bottom line is you never actually interrupt. You're never mafsik in the middle of your Shemayna Esra for anything.
No, there we go.
Yes, that became clear. You do not respond to Amen or Kaddish or Kedusha or whatever it may be. So that is the Rav Nachum, you're not on mute.
I'm sorry.
So says the Shulchan Aruch in Simon Kuf Dalet Siv Zayin. Einoi, yeah, the top of the page. Einoi Poisek Loi LeKaddish V'loi LeKedusha. There it is. That's the bottom line. Very important halacha. If you're in the middle of Shemoneh Esrei, you do not respond to anything. Elo Yishtoik V'yechavin l'ma sh'oim ha'shliach tzibu v'yehei ka'oina. And that will be considered as if you are answering. And that's what we saw yesterday. Okay, so we'll leave it over here. And that pretty much brings us to the conclusion of this sugya with regard to the halacha. We wanted to go back a little bit now and do some chazara.
Now, can I ask a quick question on that particular sif? And that is, based on what you just said before, it seems to be a little bit of a stira in the fact that it says he's got to stop and he's got to listen. But we said that it only applies, okay, in the case of Kedusha, with respect to, you know, Kadosh Kadosh and Baruch Kavod. So it seems
right
to be not necessarily consistent, okay, with the other simon.
Why?
Because here it says yishtok. He's quiet. The whole thing is, we said that he can keep going.
No.
Eino poisek. It says eino poisek. But we said before that in the rest of Kedusha, we can keep going.
No, Eino Poisek doesn't mean you do not stop. It means you do not respond. You're not mafstik your Shemoneh Esra with words of Kedusha.
Okay.
Rather, you've got to stop and listen. Poisek here means in the Lashon of being mafstik.
Okay.
Can you interrupt by saying the words? And the answer is absolutely not. What do you have to do? Stop and listen. For which part? It seems to be just for the middle two parts. That's the chiyuv. Okay, so let's begin going back. This is a very, very chashuv of a sugya that we've learned in recent weeks. So let's go back right to the bottom of Daf Chof Amud Aleph. I don't think we're going to be able to manage to do all of the Chazara today, but at least let's make a start and we'll finish it next time, Be'ezus Hashem. Go to the Mishnah, the bottom of Chof Amud Aleph. Says the Mishnah, Noshim va'avodim v'ktanim peturim mikriya shema. Women slaves, this is obviously referring to non-Jewish slaves, and ketanim are exempt from kriya shema and also from tefillin, but they are obligated v'chayovim v'tefillah v'mezuzah v'birkas hamazon. So basically the rule was, if it's zman groma, they are exempt. If it's not, then they are obligated, and yet the Gemara is going to ask on each case, what's the chiddush? It's an old rule. We all know this rule. So obviously, if it's zman groma, obviously they're exempt. Maiko mashmalon. So let's see. Says the Gemara, kriya shema pshita. It's obvious they are exempt from Kriya Shema after all. It is Zman Gromo, Pshita. Mitzvah Sasesha Zman Gromo. Hu v'chol Mitzvah Sasesha Zman Gromo. Noshim Peturois, question mark. So what's the Chiddush? Obviously they're exempt. Says the Gemara, no. Mahu de Tema, I would have thought, Hoyel v'isbo Malchus Shomayim. This is a principle we saw on several occasions. I would have thought that because Kriya Shema has in it the concept of Malchus Shomayim, that is so significant that maybe women would be obligated even if it is Zman Gromo. Kamash Malon, that's why I'm taught that no, actually they're exempt, even though it's got Malchus Shomayim. That is Chiddush number one. Then Umina Tfilin. The Mishnah says that Potter from Tfilin, once again, Pshita, question mark. It's obvious because Tfilin is Zman Gromo. We only put Tfilin on at day. No, says the Gemara, that's also a Chiddush. Mao de Tema Hoyel de Iskish la Mezuzah. After all, Tfilin is compared to Mezuzah. And we're going to see in a moment the Mezuzah women are obligated. So I would have thought that Tfilin are the same. Kamash Malon, no, actually they're exempt. Chiddush number two. The Chayovin betfilah, they're obligated in tefillah, says the Gemara. De rachami ninhu. This is the famous principle because tefillah is considered rachamim. Ma'u de tema hoyel v'ksibo erev avoykev et tzoroyim. Therefore, I would have thought, kamitza seish azman groma domi, question, comma. I would have thought that tefillah is also considered zman groma, kamash malon, but no. So if you remember at the time we explained, either that means that it's not Zman Groma, because the principle of Rachamim essentially applies the whole time, or even if it is Zman Groma, but Rachamim is so important that women are obligated nonetheless, that's Chiddush number three. Then we move on to Mezuzah. Mezuzah, Pshita, it's obvious that women are obligated. Mezuzah is definitely not Zman Groma. Says the Gemara. Ma'u de tema hoyel v'iskish le Talmud Torah. There is a comparison in the Torah between mezuzah and Talmud Torah. And Talmud Torah, women are definitely exempt from. So I would have thought, therefore, women are exempt also from mezuzah. Komash malon, that no, they're obligated. Chiddush number four. Finally, ubirka samozen. Once again, pshita. Isn't it obvious that they're obligated? Ma'u de tema hoyel v'ksib b'seis Hashem lechem bo erev bos olecha v'lechem b'boike l'soiva. I would have thought that benching is also commits as aseish azman gromadomi koma kamash malon, but they are chayv. So it turns out that the Mishnah, the Gemara has not changed the pshat in the Mishnah. The rule is uniform. If it's zman groma, they're exempt. If it's not zman groma, then they're chayv. All the Gemara did was explain why each individual case is in fact a chiddush, but the rule remains. Says the Gemara, very important Gemara, Omar of Adaba Ava Noshim Chayovois v'kiddush hayoyim. Dvar Teira, what does it mean kiddush hayoyim? Don't make a mistake, it doesn't mean kiddush in the morning, it means to be makadesh the yom of Shabbos, which is at the night of Shabbos. And they're obligated to do so, min ha-toirah. Am I? Why indeed are women obligated in Kiddush? Surely, mitzvah seisha zman groma uvachol, mitzvah seisha zman groma, noshim peturois. So I would have thought that women are exempt from Kiddush. Why indeed are they chayev? Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya, you're right, midrabanon. They're only actually chayev in Kiddush midrabanon. Says the Gemara, they can't be. Can't be. Omalei Rova, Vaha, Dvar Torah, Koma. Didn't you say that women are chayev min ha-Torah? How can you tell me no? It's only a Drabonon. You clearly told me it's min ha-Torah. Void, and if you are going to tell me it's only a Drabonon, despite the fact that it's Zman Groma, so Kol Mitzvah Sein Nechayev Mid Drabonon. So maybe we should say that for every Mitzvah Sein Zman Groma, that women should be chayev midrabanan. We've never ever heard of such a principle. When it comes to lulav and shofar, etc., women are exempt, and Chazal never obligated them. So why would Kiddush be any different? So if it really was a Zman Grom and they'll be exempt, they'll be exempt entirely. So how can you tell me that they're chayev min derabbanan? It must be that they're chayev min ha-Torah, says the Gemara, you're 100% right.
Can I ask a question?
Yep.
When it says Dvar Torah, that always means Doraisa?
Yes.
Because like on the daf before it, Rosh said Dvar Torah was Moshe Mi-Sinai.
Same thing. Moshe Mi-Sinai.
I know it's the same thing, but does it always mean Moshe Mi-Sinai, or is it just
whatever?
Just means Doraisa.
Means Doraisa. Means Doraisa. Whether it's Doraisa because it's written, whether it's Doraisa because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said it's Moshe on Sinai, it has the status of a Doraisa. Why indeed is Kiddush a Chiyuv Doraisa? Says the Gemara. El Amar Rava Amakra Zochar V'Shomer. The famous principle. We know that it says in the Torah with regard to Shabbos, Zochar is Yom HaShabbos and Shomer. So because we have a comparison to Zochar V'Shomer. Now Zochar means the mitzvahs Aseh of Shabbos and Shomer are the mitzvahs Loisa Aseh of Shabbos. So we compare the two. We say Kol Sheyeshnoi B'Shmira, Yeshnoi B'Zechira. Whoever is obligated in the no's is also obligated in the yeses. In the don'ts and the do's. Vahani noshi, women are obligated, hoyel v'isnu b'shmira. Because women are clearly obligated in the loisa says of Shabbos. Remember, women are only potter from positive commandments, not negative. So once they are chayev in the shmira, meaning on the melachis of Shabbos, for example, automatically, isnu b'zechira, they also get included in the positive aspects of Shabbos as well. We do not split the two. To the contrary, we compare the two such that women are obligated in all the halachas of Shabbos in exactly the same way that men are, without any exception whatsoever. By the way, open parenthesis, the only theoretical shaila, which is a big machlokas rishonim, is with regard to havdalah on Matzah Shabbos. Clearly, all the halachas on Shabbos, as the Gemara has just told us, women are absolutely obligated in the same degree as men. Havdalah on Matzah Shabbos is a whole discussion. The bottom line is that it's a machlokas rishonim, and that's why the Shulchan Aruch says that if a woman is in the presence of a man, the man should be mitzi her with havdalah, because it may well be that the woman is exempt. If there is no man around, then we pass, and the woman does make havdalah and she can drink the wine as well. Says the Gemara, Amalei Ravina l'Rava, Noshim b'birkas amozen do'iraisa o'idrabonon. Very big question. Are women obligated in birkas amozen? They certainly have to bench. But is that a chiyuv min ha-Torah or only midrabbanan? Says the Gemara, l'mayin nafka mina. What's the difference? We all agree that they're definitely chayev, whether it's min ha-Torah or midrabbanan. What halachic ramification does that have? So the Gemara says, la'afuke rabim yedei chayvasam. The nafka mina will be, can they be moitzi a rabim? Can a woman be moitzi a man in benching? As the Gemara now explains. E omrit do'iraisa. If you tell me that women are obligated do'iraisa, then indeed, osi do'iraisa, or mapik do'iraisa. So it comes along the do'iraisa, and it can be might see another do'iraisa, such that a woman can be might see a man. But e omrit d'rabbanon, but if you tell me that she's only obligated d'rabbanon, that means as far as a Torah is concerned, she has no chiyuv. Then she is essentially somebody who has no obligation. We all know the rule. The rule is, if you yourself are not obligated, you cannot be moitzi others. Therefore, says the Gemara, my question mark. Therefore, what is the halacha? Don't tell me that it's a theoretical question with no ramification lahalacha. There is an enormous ramification. Can a woman be mighty a man? Says the Gemara, we have it. Toshama with a brisa, it says, Be'emes omru ben mevarech la'aviv. A child can be make a bracha on behalf of his father for benching. The Eved Mavorech Rabboi, the Isham Vareches Labailo. It says quite clearly that a woman can bench on behalf of her husband. It's not very satisfactory. Aval Omru Chachomim Tovoi Me'eiro. A curse will come. La'odom She'ishto Yibonam Mavorechin Loi. It's perhaps not very recommended. Person should be benching himself. But at the end of the day, it seems to be pretty clear, in fact, explicit, that a woman can be moitzia, her husband, in benching. So that seems to resolve the shaila. Says the Gemara, one second. So if you're going to tell me that women are obligated to raisa, then it would make sense, as we just said. Then osi doi raisa, umapik doi raisa. Ela I omrat the rabbono, but if you tell me that she's only muchim the rabbono, what's going on? Osi the rabbono umapik doi raisa? Question mark. Can a the rabbono possibly be moitzi the raisa? That cannot be. So how can this brisa say that a woman can be moitzi her husband? It must be l'chayra, obvious conclusion, that she is mechuyav min ha-toira. Says the Gemara, one moment please. Ulata'ameich, and according to you, you would like to prove from over here that women are mechuyav min ha-toira, and that's how she can be moitzi her husband. One second. How can a child be moitzi his father? That very same Bryce that says a woman can be mighty her husband, it also says that the child can mighty his father. What's going on? Or the Talmeich says the Gemara, Kotten Bar Chiyuvahu? Question mark. Don't tell me that it's all going to be read straightforward and therefore we see that women can be mighty their husbands. But in the same Bryce, it says that a child can be mighty his father. Now, you can tell me any longus you like. But at the end of the day, a cotton can never be mechuyev in benching min ha-toira. So how can you moitzi his father? Elo what? Hocha b'may askinon. So what are we talking about over here? Kegoin she'ochal shi'ura d'rabbonon. We're talking about where the father only had a shi'ur d'rabbonon. What does that mean, a shi'ur d'rabbonon? As we're about to see in the next line, min ha-toira, you're only mechuyev to bench if you're fully satiated. Midrabbonon, even if less, a kazayas or a kabetza. So if the father ate a kazayas or a kabetza, then he himself is only a chiyuv derabbonon, and that's why the child can be moitzi him. And therefore, the osi derabbonon umapik derabbonon. Well, if that's the case, then I'm very sorry to tell you, you've just lost your whole proof with regard to women as well. Why? Because maybe for the same price, we're talking about whether the husband has eaten only a shir derabbanon, and that's why the wife can be moitzi him. But you have no right to prove from over here that women are chayev to bench min ha-toira, because I might well tell you that really women are only mechuyev to bench min derabbanon. The reason why she can be moitzi her husband is because maybe we're talking about the husband only ate a shir that would obligate him to bench the Rabbonon, which means they're on the same level as Chiv. And in fact, the Gemara, therefore, has left this unresolved. The Gemara has left this unresolved. And if I'm not mistaken, if you look in Shulchan Aruch, the Shulchan Aruch therefore says, a woman should not be made to see a man in benching. Again, if the man has eaten Kedei Sevia, enough to satiate him on, so he's definitely Chayav min ha-toira, a woman should not be moitzi him. The Gemara tried to bring a proof that she's Chayav min ha-toira, the proof fell through. Why did it fall through? Because the fact that it says a woman can be moitzi her husband, it may simply mean that we're talking about a case where the husband himself was only Mechuyav midrabbanan. But if the husband ate a full Su'udah and he satiated and he'd be Chayav min ha-toira, we have no proof that in that case a woman will be able to be moitzi her husband. Says the Gemara, final beautiful passage of Gemara, very famous, Dorash Ravira. Zimnin amala mishmeder of Ami, v'zimnin amala mishmeder of Asi. Sometimes he said it in the name of Rav Ami, and sometimes in the name of Rav Asi. Omru malachi hashores lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The malachim say in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbeinu Shalayla, The Malachim, as it were, complain to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they say, I don't understand. You yourself write in your Torah, you should not favor anyone. A judge should not accept bribe, and you shouldn't favor any of the litigants. And yet, v'haloi ato noise ponim li Yisrael. And yet you yourself do exactly that. As we say every day in Davening, in Birkas Kohenim, Diksiv, Yiso Hashem ponov eilecho vichuneko. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should show favor to Klal Yisrael. And yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're not allowed to show favor. Amar lahem v'chi loy ese ponim li Yisrael. Can I not show favor to them after all? Shekosavti lahem b'Torah. I wrote in their Torah, v'chalto v'savoto v'irachtos Hashem lekecho. I wrote they are essentially only mukhuyev to bench if they are fully satiated. And yet they are machme, even if it is a kazayis, or even if it is merely a kibetza, which means they are not fully satiated, they still go that extra mile and they bench. Now, this Gemara is obviously very difficult to understand.
Could I raise the question? Could I raise the question? Maybe it means Hashem doesn't play favorites among Klal Yisrael. In other words, favors Klal Yisrael over Umos HaOlam, but within Klal Yisrael, he shows equanimity across all of Klal Yisrael.
Yes, yeah, so it could be that's true, but it's still very difficult in the Gemara, because if the Malachim asked the question, how do you show favor to Klal Yisrael when you yourself wrote in the Torah that you mustn't? So why indeed did HaKadosh Baruch Hu simply not answer, Klal Yisrael is different? He didn't say that. He said, how can I not? After all, they go the extra mile in benching, which is very troubling. Number one, how indeed does that answer the question? After all, a judge who's not allowed to show favor, what does that mean, a judge showing favor? A judge showing favor clearly means that somebody gave him a bribe, and that's why he's showing favor, and that's exactly what's outlawed. So isn't that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing? We have, as it were, offered a bribe. We bench even when we're not mukhiyev. We've given this gift, kaviyachol, to the Rabbeinu Shalom, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu now justifies showing favor. How does that answer the question? And secondly, why is Birkas Hamazon the only example? There are thousands of chiyuvim midrabanon that Chazal stepped in and they went beyond the letter of the law. And why didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, so because of that, I'll show them favor? Why didn't Hashem say that, you know, min ha-Torah, you're allowed to move muktzah on Shabbos? And yet Chazal said, you're not, so therefore I show them favor. Min ha-Torah, you're allowed to eat chicken with milk. And Chazal said, it's asur, so I'll show them favor. I mean, there's millions of examples of where Chazal said we should not do something, even though min ha-Torah it's mutar. So what's so unique about Birkas Hamazon? It's a difficult concept. Okay, we'll hold it over here. Maybe just the last remaining minutes before Purim, because if we're not going to meet tomorrow. By the way, I don't know if anybody was planning on coming. Nobody should make any effort, please, to come. I know it's a very, very short day. If anybody is, we're trying to be careful this year with regard to the Ezras Noshim. My wife has not had the vaccinations yet. So we're doing a men-only Purim this year. I'll call upon him, maybe just a brief thought ahead of Purim. The Chasam Sofer writes a yesod that we're all very, very familiar with, but he just homes in on it and gives the example of Purim. The Chasam Sofer is to be found in Parashas Kisiso, which is next week's parasha, if anybody wants to see. There are a very difficult set of psukim there in Parashas Kisiso, where Moshe Rabbeinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he says, Hareini nois kvoidecho, let me see your kovid. What does that mean, let me see your kovid? So the Gemara, it's actually a Gemara in Al-Masechta in Brachas, says that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu the biggest and longest standing theological question, which is, why do you sometimes see that a Rasha, the Toivloi, and Tzadik, the Raloi, or as it's commonly called, why do bad things happen to good people? Gemara says that was the question that Moshe Rabbeinu was asking of the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. So now, what was the answer? We'd all love to hear the answer. And the Gemara explains, or the Pasuk actually continues, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says the following cryptic words. V'ro'iso es achoirai, ufonai lo yiro, which translated means, you will see behind me, but you will not see my face. How does that answer the question? What was HaKadosh Baruch Hu answering to? What was he answering to Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Chasam Sofer explains, again, it's an age-old yesod, but it's something that always needs a chizuk, that sometimes when we undergo an esayin from the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, amidst the difficulty, we don't really understand why it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing what he's doing. And yet often it's only after the event that we look back in retrospect and suddenly it all makes sense. Says the Chasam Sofer, that's the Pshat in these Psukim. If you're asking me why is it that bad things happen to good people and good things happen to bad people, V'ro'isto es achoira, you can only see behind me, meaning after the event. Barufonai lo yiro, but head on, face to face, you will not see. And the only possible way, obviously, that you can get through a situation like that is with emuna and bitachon on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with the understanding that we can't understand everything. So we all have situations in which we have questions in which you ask the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and yet there are occasions that we just have to understand that we can't understand. After the event, whether it be a year down the line or 50 years down the line, or maybe an Olin Olam HaEmes. The Ramban had a Talmud. The Ramban's Talmud was critically ill. He was so ill, the Ramban was assured that he was literally at death's door and was about to depart Olam HaZeh. So the Ramban said to his Talmud, he gave him a kemir. A kemir is, I think, translated as an amulet. And he said, when you pass on to Olam Haba, take this amulet with you and you will see all doors will be opened before you. And you will reach gate through after gate after gate, and all gates will be opened until you get to the very top Shaar HaShemayim. The Ramban says to him, do me a favor. When you get there, I have a whole bunch of questions in theology that are bothering me. I'd like you to ask these questions, please, and report back to me down here in Olam HaZeh. And shortly after, the Talmud passed away. A while after, the Ramban was learning, and an image of his Talmud appeared in front of him. And the Talmud said, I did as you instructed. After he passed away, he said indeed that I showed the kemir and I got through door to door. Says the Ramban, fine, I'm happy. But what about the questions that I asked you? I'll be waiting for the answers. And the Talmud said, I must be honest, when I got up to Shaar HaShemayim, I saw that there are no questions anymore. There was nothing to ask. Everything was so clear in Olam HaEmes that there were no further questions. That's the end of the story. Now, I heard this story maybe 20 years ago, but it was only recently that I think I finally understood the story properly. Because the story in of itself is a bit difficult to understand. If the Talmud saw in Olam HaEmes that everything made sense, so why didn't he report what he saw to the Ramban? It's true, in the Ramban, he was not privy to the MS because he was not yet in the Olam HaEmes. But once the Talmud was, why didn't he report it back? And the answer must be that that is the answer, that it's impossible to perceive that MS as long as you're not in the Olam HaEmes. And that's what it means, ufonai lo yiro'u. Head on, at the time, in this world, we can't always understand. And the Chasam Sofer, as a classic example, says, take the Purim story. When during the Purim story, there's an easy mistake to be made. We read the Purim story in Megillah, we think it all happened overnight. It took over a decade from beginning to end. And there must have been so many stages during the story where things did not make sense. Why was Esther taken? What happened to Haman? What about the Gezeirah? But when you get to the final perek, as the curtains finally close, you suddenly see V'ro'iso es achoirai. After the event, now every single aspect of the Megillah, everything made perfect sense. And this is one of the many, many, many Yesodos. That's why it's called Esther, which means hidden. Kadosh Baruch Hu Kaviyachol sometimes hides himself from Klal Yisrael or from our own personal lives. But the chizuk and the lesson we take from Esther is V'ro'iso es achoirai. So may we all be zeicha, even undergoing general difficult times, or whether it be personal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should send us